Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the MathCast. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled, Jesus Heals the Self-Rejecting Heart. Let me say at the top of the program that sin creates complexity. Sin creates a situation in which the individual is mired in, so the individual's life is mired in so many ways. And by mired, I mean weighed down. This morning episode focuses upon what sin does, or what happens to the life of an individual who has been sinned against. That is, individuals who may have been chronologically immature or physically immature, individuals who have suffered from the all-too-muchness of early childhood sexual abuse, individuals who have suffered from the all-too-muchness of rape, individuals who have also suffered the all-too-muchness of incest. Then there are individuals who have suffered the rawness of human traffickers, sex traffickers, for sexual enslavement. Then there are those who are suffering from the emotional devastation of terrorist attacks and war. The cosmos is filled with such examples. And there are wonderful persons who are involved in helping such individuals. And then they too can suffer compassion fatigue over the all-too-muchness of what they experience in reaching out to persons who have suffered the all-too-muchness of their negative experiences in the first person. And so it is imperative to understand that when we turn to the biblical documents, we're not really turning to religious literature as such, but to the living Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so we turn to the documents because it is within the documents that we find answers that meet the human situation, that are relevant, that present holds powerful answers to the human situation. And so having said that, let me say that it is important to understand that the scriptures present a unique paradigm, a paradigm that is not controlled by cosmic answers, that may be too narrow and that may not meet the intensity or the profundity of a particular situation because of its darkness and because of the presence of evil. You see, evil does not stop after an individual has been wounded, or evil does not stop because an individual has experienced an some point in life, the all-too-muchness of an event or situation. No, evil does not stop. Evil keeps on. Now, it may be our desire for personal evil to no longer visit an individual because or what he or she is experiencing now. But you and I know that that is not the case. Evil does not stop. Evil is malignantly opportunistic. So there's that aspect too that troubles us. And that may leave us chagrin and shaking our heads. And maybe even toss us into a spiral. Because evil always acts outside of the narrow parameters of reason. Evil does not seek to operate within the narrow boundaries of human reason, or our rationality, or our explanations, or our explanatory algorithms. Evil does not seek to do so. Evil seeks to overwhelm and to control with its malignancy, its cancerous, all too much. And so I am talking about the relentless nature of evil, which in the New Testament is called scotia, or the consequences of darkness. Consequences of darkness, scotia, is always active in the active voice. And Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talks about or speaks about the armor of God for that is available for believing one. It is not the believer's armor. It is the armor of God. And along with the armor of God, the individual must take up or the individual must know or understand how to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The individual must also understand that he or she is to be adept at prayer and understand that the armor of God, the Word of God, and prayer or organic. They all work together. The believer is told to put on the armor of God and to never take it off. The believer wants to put on the armor of God and keep it on. So I'm going to be reading this morning from Psalm 40. Now our theme for this morning is about the self-objective heart, a heart that is mired in self-hate, the heart that believes that he or she is worth less. And this is due to spiritual pollution. It is the pollution that is within the heart that is speaking. It is the poison of the pollution that is resonating within the heart instead of light. So we're dealing with fallen emotions. We're dealing with emotions that are the result, or we're dealing with emotions that are symptomatic of the woundedness of the heart. Difficult to understand why certain individuals have traveled a certain road. You and I may not have been there when they were tortured, when they were the victims of soul murder. The reality of soul murder is outside of our consciousness. Nevertheless, it is a reality. Soul murder is real. Soul murder is devastating. And it has taken many, many lives. There are individuals within your periphery and within my periphery who have suffered the ravages of soul murder. And they hide from themselves, and they hide their self-hate. They hide their self-rejection. They go for therapy, and they may stay in therapy for a while. But soul murder is a tremendous, it is the implantation of evil within the heart that creates self-rejection. At some point, the individual acts out. The reality, the dark reality of soul murder. When Jesus said, "I am the Father," or the light of the world, he used the formula from Exodus 3:14. I am that I am, or I will be what I will be. Exodus 3:14 is, in the Hebrew, is a dynamic formula. It is not a static formula. It is very powerful. It is a very compelling picture of God and his relationship to humanity. God within the human condition. God who is ready to meet the needs of those who are suffering. Because he understands perfectly. He is acquainted, or he is familiar with grief, Isaiah 53. He is familiar with grief, our hidden grief, the grief that we dare not share with others. The poignancy of grief. That directs and controls our lives, knows power of darkness to contort, to distort, to twist, and to toss into ruin. He knows this. Self-rejecting heart, the heart that is filled with self-hate. The individual who rejects himself or herself because he or she has been sinned against in a violent way. He or she has been deceived in order to be used. And so that split occurs within the heart. That split occurs within the personality. That fragmentation occurs within the life of the individual. And those who do not understand may be placed in a relationship or may go into a relationship with such a person and not know the devastation that is resident within that heart. And when the individual who has been so wounded dares to share his or her experience of soul murder, the untrained ear may hear and say, get over it. You got to leave that stuff in the past. Visual cannot get over it. Because of the woundedness that is a present tense reality. Do not be surprised if one's therapist is also or has also been a victim of soul murder. Do not be surprised if a pastor has also been a victim of soul murder. Do not be surprised if one's favorite teacher has been a victim of soul murder. It is a pandemic that is hidden. It is a very real, here is where God walks. Here is where the presence of God is needed. In a very powerful manner. The poet writes in Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for turn to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. You see, individuals who have been victims of soul murder, they try to medicate themselves through sex, through alcohol, through drugs, through high-risk social behavior. These are attempts. These are desperate, but these attempts, these algorithms, are highly destructive. And the individual is tossed into a deeper abyss. An individual who has been a victim of soul murder may risk going to a trained religious counselor only to be further abused, sexually abused, by that counselor. This is not uncommon. Unfortunately, this is common. I know of one specific case in which this happened to a young woman. And today, her life still tragically fragmented. Freud writes in verse 2, he, speaking of God, lifted me out of the slimy pit. Out of the mud and mire. Such pictures are not uncommon for those persons who have been victims of criminal sexual abuse, of rape, of incest. Of terrorists and other forms of persecution. And one may think that, well, when the individual is no longer within that environment, when the individual is no longer within the periphery, when the individual is not around those who initially introduce the harm or who havoc their lives, when these individuals are not around these persons, then they're healing again. That's not necessarily the case. Because while the physical imprisonment may no longer be there, the emotional imprisonment remains. The body may soul, the wounded soul, and its fragile thing remains within that environment. And emotionally visits in a way that you and I cannot understand. God can understand. God enters into these situations with his blessed assurance. He is the deliverer. That heart that believes that he or she is no good and worthless and allows himself or herself to be used by others in the present tense for their sexual exploitation, and who only finds value in being used because this is the mindset. Those who use me value me. Those who love me for real and who say they love me do not understand where I am emotionally, what has gone on in my life, and my intense self-rejection. They do not understand that I am living out of hate. The gospel is called the good news because Jesus visits with his love those who are in great need. He heals the splintered self. He nurtures, he brings back the fragmented self. He creates wholeness within a heart that has never known wholeness. He creates peace in the heart, or in the heart that has never known, I am the resurrection, I am the life. When Jesus stood at the grave of Lazarus, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. You read in John's Gospel that he which was bound in, that Lazarus came forth, still bound in the grave cloth of the old life. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. There are individuals today who know Jesus Savior, and yet they still are wearing the grave clothes of the old or former life. They know Jesus, and they need exposure, more exposure. They need to be taught the Word of God, the Didache, the teaching of Scripture, under a qualified teacher who knows the Word of God and who knows how to rightly divide the Word of truth. These individuals need to be carefully and patiently discipled. Carefully and patiently. Paul talks about those who oppose themselves. It is not easy, this work. It is often difficult. But the results are marvelous. The psalmist says that he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. God will provide the individual who has been in the slimy pit, who has been in the mud, who has wallowed in the mire. God will give that person a brand new life. And notice in verse 3, the psalmist says, where he writes, he put a new song in my mouth. A hymn of praise to our God. Verse 4, blessed is the man or woman who makes the Lord his trust. Wonderful, the mighty work that God's Spirit can do within a heart. If you know who has suffered the all too muchness of any of the abuses that I have spoken about this morning, have that individual listen to this broadcast and read Psalm 40, read Psalm 22, Psalm 3, and read the entire book of 1 John. Pray with that individual for God to move in that heart in a wonderful way. And God will bless, and you will see the fruit of the Spirit in that individual's life as God removes the fragmentation that is inherent in the self-rejecting heart. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.